Thank you for listening to this recording of Family Bible Church's Sunday morning message. We pray that God will use this word to bless and encourage you.
Psalm chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Please pray with me. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you that we can be here today. And Lord, we just ask that your word would penetrate our hearts as we kind of dissect this passage. And we'll give you thanks for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I do have one more little commercial. you have a sister church. You may or may not know it, but there is another Family Bible Church in November of 2021. I and another group of people planted a church in Knoxville, Tennessee, and we named it Family Bible Church. I pastored that church until this last December. They send their greeting. I was just texting with some of them this morning. And they send their greeting from one Family Bible Church to another. If you look up the definition of stability in the dictionary, I have a quote here from Webster's dictionary. It is this: the capacity of an object to return to equilibrium or its original position after having been displaced. Like weevils wobble, but they never fall down, right? That's the difference between a canoe and a pontoon boat. Stability. I proved that a few summers ago on a canoe trip in Missouri. I was in a canoe by myself and like a dummy, you know, I like to sit up in the back instead of down in the belly of the canoe, which even makes it less stable. And we went around a bend in the river. And there was a big old tree branch, just right head level. And I couldn't stop or slow, and boom, hit me right in the face and knocked off my glasses, knocked me out of the boat. It was awful because I'm blind as a bat without my glasses. And not only can I not see, I get sick. And so it was awful. I was on a trip with some teenagers. And water was about 4 or 5 feet deep. And so they all bailed out of their canoes and went on a search. And after a couple minutes, one of the teenage boys came up out of the water with glasses in his hand. He says, "I found him." It was the wrong glasses. Yeah. Yeah, weren't mine. Was not my prescription. As we live in the world, there are going to be a lot of things that tip us. And if we aren't careful, we could lose our glasses and our power of sight. Our world, in Sunday school this morning, I talked about this a little bit. In our world, it's so different than when I grew up. I remember in high school, the great technology of 8-track tapes. Yeah, yeah. I remember the first time I ever saw an 8-track tape player in a vehicle. I was hitchhiking, actually, and a guy in a 1970 Chevy Caprice picked me up, and it had an 8-track tape player in it, and I'm like, oh, you know, it's amazing technology. But then what happened? The world changed, and we went from 8-track tapes to these cool cassette tapes that you could actually back up, you know, and it was just amazing. There will be things and times that change. And when they change, if we aren't prepared, they can displace us. Just like me getting knocked off of that canoe by that branch that I didn't anticipate. If you're going to find or keep stability in your life, we need to allow God to make us a stable person and keep us that way. That's a process that will never end. When Judy met me and then agreed to marry me, she thought I was perfect. Like, I walked on water. I was the coolest man she had ever met. Then, now she knows the truth, huh? And we laugh sometimes about ourselves and how different we are, you know? Judy is such a coffee snob that she even has a new word. She calls herself a coffee schnob. And so the coffee that I've made for years isn't good enough. So now I'm doing something I never thought I would do, and that's grind coffee beans. You know, it's just so much more work, but we're different that way. Okay. And so that's okay. Judy wouldn't drink a glass of milk if it was squirting her in the face. I drink about 2 gallons a week. And so I can drink right out of the jug because I know nobody else is going to drink it, you know. And life is just different. And so we have to be, that's why we did a Bible study for several months together. We did this great, went to this great book called Preventing Divorce. And it's just a checklist of things. It'll make a statement, and then you talk about it. Do you agree about this statement or not? Like, I want to do every Christmas with my family. Well, okay. Do we agree about that or not? It's a great book because it helped us kind of communicate about some of those issues that we were facing before we got married. And it is so different to get married when you're 68 than it was when you were 18. I'm just telling you, okay? Our world is on its end. But God can give us stability. And that's, you know, kind of a silly little fun little illustration, but every area of your life. I talked to some fellows over here this morning that are serving in the military. Thank you, by the way. There's so many things that come to us, so different. Where do we get our stability? That's what this passage addresses. According to this passage, there are two kinds of people, blessed and ungodly. And both of those things reflect what we are, but then they're proven or observed by what we do. And there are only two paths open to us. Okay, you can follow God or you can reject God. Those are the only two paths available. A stable person is the person who follows God. He is a blessed person, according to this text. So let's say some things about this word from verse 1, blessed. The root word comes from a verb which means to drive straight or to go straight. It eventually came to mean happy. But here, this word of going straight is referring to he's this kind of a man. He's blessed. It's an emotion, really, in some ways, that can mean to be happy. Albert Barnes wrote a commentary 150 years ago, and he said this. His condition is happy or a desirable one. That's that word, blessed. The word used here takes the nature and force of an interjection. Oh, the happiness of the man. Or, oh, happy man. Happy art thou, O Israel, is written in 1 Kings. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants in Job 5. Happy is the man whom God correcteth, Psalm 2. Blessed are they that put their trust in him. The not blessed person is described in verse 4 as ungodly, which means to be guilty, convicted of a crime, to be cursed by God, have a meaningless life. We were driving down yesterday, and as I am often tempted to do, I was exceeding the speed limit a little bit, not by much, because I do have the Holy Spirit in the passenger seat, so I, kind of keeping me honest, but I was 4 or 5 miles over, and we passed a policeman, and I thought, oh, great, First of all, if I did get a ticket for going 4 over, I'm probably the first person ever, but, it is possible. But I remember having that thought, man, if he comes out, I'm just going to have to admit it. Yeah, I was driving 74. I'm sorry. I was guilty. That's the way the man who is not blessed is described. He is guilty. Blessedness or happiness is a gift that is lived by association with God and disassociation with evil. We have to have both. If we try to be associated with God and associated with evil, we have a word for that. It's called hypocrisy. It doesn't work. It is possible to be in right relation with God. It is possible, even for a sinner like me. We sang that song every time. I'll date myself here. Some of you younger people probably can't relate with this. But when we sing, I'd rather have Jesus, I can picture George Beverly Shea standing up in those Billy Graham crusades just singing that song. And if you notice, he wrote the words to that song. I'd rather have Jesus. Some people try to justify their sin by saying, well, God wants me to be happy. I actually heard people say that. Well, God wants me to be happy. They've twisted the scriptures to suit their own selfish purposes. It is true that God wants us to be happy. But happiness is both the cause and the result of living in right relationship with God. That's how we get happy. It has nothing to do with circumstances. Okay? Nothing to do with circumstances. You can relate to that very easily. I haven't been in a church where I have sensed the working of God like I sense it in this church. 6 months ago, you never dreamed you'd be all packed into this in another room, did you? Circumstances ain't got nothing to do with it. Okay? Nothing. It's not our circumstances. Judy, you didn't even expect that Mark would get that disease and be paralyzed. I didn't think that Cheryl would have Alzheimer's and eventually not even know who I was. I don't know if I've told you this story. There was a good Daniel and a bad Daniel. She thought there was two of me. And so I was the bad Daniel whenever she needed to take medicine. And so sometimes I had to just enter her world, circumstances mean nothing. They do. They mean a lot. But they eternally don't. The blessed person demonstrates stability in by demonstrating these qualities of character in their life. And if we're going to be stable, and if we're going to be protected from evil, it starts with our habits. How can we do that? Well, there are three habits here that are really important. Okay, you can switch that screen, I think. Yeah. Okay. The first habit is the habit of stability. We do that by avoiding sin, by being a person of character. That's the reference to walk, who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Your walk is how you live. Your walk is who you trust. Do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly, but to the counsel of the godly. And sometimes you got to search those people out. David even offers himself as an example in Psalm 32, where he writes, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And, you know, kind of repeating what he's learned from God. I have been amazed over my years of ministry. How many believers have gone to seek advice about spiritual needs from people who aren't even Christian? How does that work? You know, over in North Carolina, from the interstate, well, eventually we'll be able to get back on the interstate over there, but there's a little automotive shop called, I think, what was the baby toy, Toys R Us, okay? This is called Subarus R Us, okay? If I have a Subaru, that's the guy I want to work on it, okay? Because he knows about Subarus. He might not know about Dodges or Chevys, but Judy's got Subaru. So, you know, they go to the people who have the ability to help you with what you need. That's what we need to do. Some people, like, just by default allow their minds to be filled with things and the people of the world. But this text says that's our walk. Our walk is not just the way we live, it's also the way we die. I am becoming more and more cognizant of that as I get older. Well, I've done reached that. I'm not getting older anymore. I've already arrived in that sense. I am old, okay? it becomes more and more important to us, I think, as we get older. The way we live is the way we will die. I have said for many years, when I die, I don't want to be sitting in an easy chair watching a Hallmark movie. I want to die on the track. I want to be running the race. If I could die in the pulpit, I know that'd be kind of creepy for y'all, but that's what I want to do. The ungodly, they have a different worldview, though. They're controlled by works and by pride, and they're not concerned about what God says. This is the way most of the world lives. And if you're going to be a blessed man or a blessed woman, you need to keep seeking out those people who will help you avoid sin. Then you'll have a heart like God's, okay? Seek out people who will help you avoid sin. Secondly, our habits of stability happen by having a godly identity. Again, that's verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Having a godly identity alone, if necessary. To stand means to persist or abide. Excuse me. To identify with it. That's your stand. You'll need to answer for yourself. Is this where you stand? Is it, you know, today? You stand with the sinners? Literally, the word means the wrongdoers. Or do you stand with the blessed? And it is so easy now. I think more than any other time to stand in the wrong place. With the wrong people. Although, you know, many hundreds and hundreds of years ago, David was already seeing that. But I think it's even worse now. And when we stand in the wrong place with the wrong people, there will be a consequence to pay, and it's not worth it. So you should run from the scornful. Okay? That's what the text says. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't sit in their seat. This phrase means to inhabit the assembly. You can click that one more time, I think. There. Okay? You can don't inhabit their assembly. Don't go there. Judy and I last night were kind of driving around over in Augusta looking for a place to eat, and we went. Judy's looking online, you know, at this restaurant. I'm not sure if we want to be in there or not, you know. We ended up there, and it was fine, but we want to be careful where we are. I don't want to be in the wrong stinking place when Jesus returns, okay? I don't want to be there. So don't sit in their seat. Don't identify with them. Don't inhabit the assembly. Who you hang with. The scornful people are people who treat God with and his word with contempt and mockery. That's who they are. We talk about the finished work of Christ. This is the finished work of unbelief. Okay? And it is as low as a person can get. The finished work of unbelief. Now, I want you to see a progression here, and I have a fancy little chart that I created with AI. I told Bob this morning. You can click one more time, John. There it is. You can see this was very professionally done, but I think it kind of explains what's going on here. It's a downward progression. Our walk is the casual acceptance of sin doing what they do. That's our walk. Our stand is when we get to that like total toleration of sin, where we've gone from doing what they do to actually believing what they believe. Okay? But it gets even worse. Then there's our seat. When we sit in the seat of the scornful, that is, we join in conspiracy against God. And not only do we do what they do and we believe what they believe, we promote it. That's how bad it can get if we don't protect ourselves. One writer says this, it implies still greater deliberation and determination of character than either of the other words. That's this conspiracy idea, sitting in the seat of the scornful. The man referred to here does not casually and accidentally walk along them, nor put himself in their way by standing where they ordinarily are. He has become one of them by occupying a seat with them, thus deliberately associating with them. He has an established residence among the wicked. He is permanently one of their number. That's how bad it can get if we don't protect ourselves. We need at the beginning to confront our habits and protect our identity, so that we won't land in the seat of the scornful. And we will if we don't protect ourselves. If we're going to be stable and protected from evil, it starts with our habits of stability. But secondly, the psalmist goes now into enjoying God's word. That's verses 2 and 3. Okay? But, verse 2 starts with the word but. That kind of contrast now, okay? But it really means like, but rather. Instead of this, do this. Be delighted with God's word, the law. They call it the Torah. Be delighted by that. And to be delighted doesn't mean to just merely know it. Like y'all are... to your credit, memorizing scripture. I have like the memory of an aunt. Judy, one of the things Judy has learned about me is I have like zero short-term memory. You know, I just so admire people who do that. We, in our church in Knoxville, have a young man who has established a quiz team. You know, and they're just rattling off like whole books of the Bible. And I'm like, for God so loved the, you know, and they're like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Delight in God's, it's one thing to know it here, but now delight in God's word. Enjoy God's word. Find pleasure in God's word. That's a sign of a pure heart. Okay? And you can click that once more. Okay? This person here thinks about it and meditates about the word of God day and night. It's important. I'm reading through the Bible this year, and 10 minutes, by the way, 10 minutes a day, and you can read through the entire Bible in a year. And in Exodus and Numbers, I've discovered something that I can't get out of my mind, that when the children of Israel first left Egypt, God said, I'm going to send you into the promised land. And if they had listened to him, they would have gone into the promised land without war. The inhabitants, God told them, the inhabitants, they're just going to eventually drizzle away. By attrition, you're going to get this land. The children of Israel refused to follow God. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they had to fight for it. Okay, it's that kind of thing. You know, I can't get that out of my mind. And so as I'm reading now, I'm in Numbers, almost done with Numbers now. I keep thinking about that all this, they're preparing for war. All this didn't have to happen. If they would have just listened to God, how many things in my life are happening because I didn't listen to God back there? Okay. And I'm dealing with the consequences of it now. That's the idea. It's not just to know the word, it's to delight in it. The bigger role the word of God has in your life, the more you can potentially delight in God. Association with the word of God identifies the righteous person, as the psalmist says here, and gives us stability in verse 3, like a tree that is purposely planted by the rivers of water, so that it can get moisture, okay? To live near or to grow crops near a body of water was very desirable to these people because it wasn't a lot of water around. So much so that for pretty much all of human history, men have diverted water from other bodies of water to their land so the crops could grow. It said that in ancient Egypt, the land was crisscrossed with irrigation canals. That's the idea. When crops have adequate water, they can bear fruit much easier. And they would plant them near water. There's a biblical illustration of how they did this found in Ezekiel chapter 31. Indeed, Assyria was a cedar in Lebanon with fine branches that shaded the forest and of high stature, and its top was among the thick boughs. The waters made it grow. Underground waters gave it height with their rivers running around the place where it was planted and sent out rivulets to all the trees of the field. That's the summary of enjoying God's word, drawing from that. And growing from that, and bearing fruit from that. Plant yourself by the river of God's word. If you will, you will be stable. In Mark 13:31, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, I know I'm taking that a little bit out of context, but it's still true. His word will not pass away. For nearly 25 years, I've read the Bible from cover to cover at least once a year, sometimes three times a year. This time that I'm reading now, I think, is my 43rd trip from cover to cover. One of those years, I recorded myself reading the New Testament. I did it word perfect, so, you know, I'm not all that articulate, and sometimes, you know, words get jumbled, whatever. I'd start over and record it again. I had every chapter on a file, and then I put it on flash drives, and I gave it to my grandchildren for Christmas. It was their Christmas present that year. Grandpa Nave reading the entire New Testament. And then the next year, instead of reading it, I hand copied the New Testament. You can buy little journal books that are designed for that. They're really cool. And so I have a copy of the entire New Testament. I just went to Walmart and bought a little journal, you know. It's amazing what God's word does to us and in us, especially a sinner like me. And I can tell it when I miss a day. And I do sometimes, and I miss it. So our habits of stability: one, enjoy sin. Listen to me. Avoid sin. Avoid sin. Enjoy God's word and bear fruit for God. That's verse 3. Be useful. The tree planted by water grows deep roots, and it's much more healthy. It bears more fruit, and its leaves don't wither. And this is what a godly person will do. They will prosper. They will bear fruit for God. They will be strong because they have deep roots, just like those fed by this water. And in its season, in God's time, there will be fruit. If you were in Sunday school this morning, I presented to you my new thing, the 2050 harvest. Chances are I'm going to be dead and gone by 2050. I'd be 95, and that's a whole nother story. But the roots can be planted. The seeds can be planted now. And those seeds then can be bearing fruit. I don't really care about the credit, but I want to see the plants that I see, that I sow, bear fruit. You know, Paul said some seed, some cultivate, some, you know, harvest. It's okay. Whatever my role is, that's what I want to have. Okay? It's amazing what God does. So we plant ourselves by the water. I recently talked to a pastor. I pray for a number of pastors every day. And I talked to a pastor to ask me how, or I asked him how I could pray for him. And his answer was pretty simple. Pray that there would be fruit. I got an apple tree out in my front yard. Ain't had an apple on it in 10 years. I'm about ready to cut it down. I don't know what's wrong with it. Okay, what good is an apple tree that don't bear fruit? And last year, had some apples on it, and the birds ate them. Yeah. If we plant ourselves by the water, and we allow God to feed us, and we allow God to water us, our actions will be God-honoring, and then he can bless us with fruit. So what's the summary of that? Stability is not found in a job or in money or in health or in having a church building. Okay? Anything that can be temporarily affected by circumstances, real stability is found in our relationship with God and his word. That is stability. And if you don't know God through Christ, you have no hope of stability, and you have no hope of blessing. And we are all born that way, not knowing God through Christ. And so that's one of our tasks as believers. I talked this morning about discipleship in Sunday school. Well, evangelism is the first phase of discipleship. People need to know Christ, or they can never do that. And so for those who do know God through Christ, you can live a prosperous life of bearing fruit and being strong, like that which comes from being watered by the word. That is prosperity. That is blessedness. Not this garbage that we see on TV about health, wealth, and prosperity. Some of the most godly people I know are so poor, they don't know where next month's light bill's coming from. Okay? It's got nothing to do with that. So when we stand before God, and we all will, frankly, we all do, what will he say? Well, for the ungodly, they will be winnowed. Look at verse 4. They will be winnowed like worthless chaff that blows away. Their stand will be found to not really be a stand at all. Verse 5. This is a different word than where it occurs in verse 1, their stand, okay? In verse 1, it means to persist or identify. Here it means to be confirmed. Their way, in verse 6, will perish. Charles Spurgeon said this about this. Not only shall they perish themselves, but their way shall perish too. The righteous carves his name upon the rock, but the wicked writes his remembrance in the sand. The righteous man plows the furrows of the earth and sows a harvest here which shall never be fully reaped until he enters the enjoyments of eternity. But as for the wicked, he plows the sea, and though there may seem to be a shining trail behind his keel, yet the waves shall pass over it, and the place that knew him shall know him no more forever. The very way of the ungodly shall perish. If it exists in memory, it shall be in the memory of the bad. For the Lord will cause the name of the right wicked to rot and to become a stench in the nostrils of the good and to be only known to the wicked themselves by its putridity. I wish we still used that word, by the way. Putridity. Remember what we said at the beginning. According to this passage, there are only two kinds of people, blessed or ungodly. Both reflect what you are, what we are first, and then they're proven by what we do. And there are only two paths, follow God or reject God. A stable person who follows God will find himself or herself being blessed. And so whether you're entering a new stage of life or simply recognizing where you are, the question that needs to be asked is, will I be blessed by God? When I tipped that canoe over and lost my glasses, I sought help from everyone else who was on the trip, and they did the deep dive, and they, you know, found those wrong glasses. But thank God they also found the right ones. We found more than those. Someone else had, there were several pairs of glasses right there. Someone else had met the same sorry state that I met and got their glasses knocked off, but left without finding their eyes. And that's the way a lot of people are living. They don't have any spiritual sight because they aren't in the Word, or they don't even know the God of the Word. And they flounder through life only to find themselves before God someday with no answer. No answer for what they believed, no answer for how they lived, and even worse, no hope. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. I hope that encourages you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the Word of God, and we thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to assemble in these rooms today. Lord, you've lent your hand of blessing on this church for sure, because even though you allowed their building to be taken away from them, you've provided another place and even more people to fill it. Praise you, God, for what you are about to do. Thank you that you've given us your word, and thank you that by meditating on it, we can become stable people, like trees planted by the water. We've seen a lot of trees get blown over in this neighborhood, Lord. And yet, here's this church right here, much like a tree that had deep roots and didn't get blown over. I thank you for that, Father. Go with us with your blessing today in Jesus' name.